This week on Sports and Stuff, the Los Angeles Lakers are the NBA champions of the world for 2020. In a year filled with controversy and turmoil, I'll recap the NBA Finals. Also, Week 5 in the NFL, I'll discuss that. And a couple of big-time celebrities pass away this week in show business. I'll talk about them and many more, as well as give you our weekly Magic City Highlight recap. All this and plenty more coming up on Sports and Stuff after these words. You're listening to EPRN. I'm John Meisner, host of Sports and Stuff. Listen in to my podcasts and all of the podcasts on Exquisite Podcast Radio Network. Download and bookmark the EPRN app. Go to app.eprn.us and you can always tune in at www.eprn.us.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome to Sports and Stuff on EPRN and all of our other media platforms. Glad you could join us this week. I'm John Meisner. Hope you've enjoyed the long Columbus Day weekend and are enjoying yourselves. So if you're wondering what I've been up to start, I have actually been fairly busy. I engaged in a virtual voiceover boot camp over this past weekend. I'm considering pursuing voiceovers in addition to this podcast, and learned quite a bit from a woman named Susan Berkeley, who is a longtime professional voiceover artist, over 30 years worth of experience. The class was a lot of fun. She teaches from what's called the Great Voice Company, which is what she's the head of. And learned a lot about voiceover acting, how to market yourself, and how to get into the voiceover business. So I thank her very much for teaching me and the many others who were interested. It was fun. I got to practice reading some reads and learned quite a bit from how to get yourself a good, what they call a good money voice, I guess, in the business. So it was very much appreciated from her. So, as we start the show this week, we've actually got quite a bit to talk about. So, first things first, we'll get to basketball. The Los Angeles Lakers are NBA champions of 2020. They beat the Miami Heat in 6 games. I knew the Lakers would win the series. I expected them to win. They were the favorites, and they ultimately did not disappoint. So they won. I do give the Miami Heat a lot of credit, though. They have a lot of toughness and a lot of fight in them. And Jimmy Butler carried them as far as they could go, and he definitely carried them because they didn't have a whole lot of help from other than Butler. They didn't really have much of a supporting cast, but Butler carried them as far as they did. But ultimately, it's a team sport, and the Lakers were the better team. They were considerably more dominant on the defensive end. LeBron James and Anthony Davis were just a monster of a duo. They were just a nightmare to stop. Both of them, they were just a beast, you know, Davis's, anyway. Great supporting cast, though. Rajon Rondo, former Celtics player for a number of years, and did a great job this year with the Lakers. Caldwell Pope was another good player. Who else they have on that team? I've forgotten already. But anyway, it's just so dominant, and Dwight Howard as well. The Heat already were kind of up against it anyway. They lost a couple of their key players to start the series in Game 1. It's funny. The Heat have a funny name player. Was it Bam Adebayo? Or I forget how you say his name. I'm sorry. I just like his first name is Bam. Makes me think of Emerald. No, Bam. Got to kick it up a notch. Bam, Bam. I think of Emerald. I think of the Flintstones when I hear that name. But anyway, the Heat were up against it to start. They lost a couple key players. They had nowhere near as much talent as the Lakers did. I knew it would only be a matter of time before the Lakers won. I thought they were going to beat them in, like, 5 games. They lost a close game 5, the Lakers did, and what ended up being a kind of a battle between LeBron and Jimmy Butler at the end, trading baskets. But the Lakers were ultimately the better team. And, in all honesty, I'm not a big Lakers fan. I'm not a big LeBron guy, honestly. He's not one of my favorite basketball players. But I kind of wanted the Lakers to win this year, and here's why. In the finals, I should say. This championship was for Kobe Bryant. I mean,
let's face it, he rocked the basketball world with his tragic death earlier this year. And considering all that was going on between, you talk about, you know, how tough it was to win a championship. This year was the toughest with everything going on in this world, with COVID-19 and the Black Lives Matter, the NBA having to travel to a bubble down in Orlando for the past couple months. I mean, this was not easy for a lot of people, or a lot of the players who were separated from their families for so long, having to focus on basketball and basketball only, social distancing themselves, trying to stay safe and not catch anything, or, you know, just... it was very difficult. I can only imagine just how hard it was for everybody on all the teams. That is amazing. I can see why people think it's the toughest year to win a championship for basketball or hockey, you know, and baseball, I guess, to some extent. I think baseball's going to have to do the same thing when they get to the World Series, is just, you know, stay in one place, because they've already have been doing that in the American League and National League, but... So it's heading down that path too, but with basketball, and hockey, I give the players and the coaches a ton of credit. You know, they really hung in there. They stayed focused. I can imagine it's hard for them, not just, you know, that they're separated from their families, but because they had to be alone when they weren't with their teammates to stay safe and, you know, social distance themselves. I can only imagine how much loneliness some of those people must feel, you know, when they were not playing, but it's for the best, you know, for now. I think it's safe to say the experiment worked. I think the NBA handled it very well. I don't think there was really any too many cases of COVID-19 going on in Orlando while that was going on. So the players stayed safe, which was good. And I congratulate the Lakers for winning. It pains me to say this, but they tie the Celtics with the most number of NBA championships all time. I didn't think I'd be saying that a couple weeks ago when the Celtics were still in the playoffs, but it is a fact. Both the Lakers and Celtics currently have 17 championships, and I really sincerely hope that the Lakers and Celtics face off against each other next season for their 18th title for either one of them. I'm hoping it ends up that way, but still, I'm not a big LeBron fan. I respect him. He's won 4 championships. He's definitely one of the greatest basketball players of all time. But I've never been a big fan of him because I don't like his selfish ego. I think he's too egotistical. He has grown and matured in a way because he understands he can't do it all by himself. He needs a supporting cast around him to help win a championship. So, he understands that, I think, but... But still, he is just, he's just too selfish and too larger than life for me. I don't know, he's, you know, Michael Jordan wasn't like that. I shouldn't compare to Michael Jordan, but I will, because I want to. Jordan wasn't like that. You know, he didn't, you know, he was a polarizing figure because he was, like, the greatest player of all time. You know, he didn't have to make it all about him. It kind of just... ended up that way, just with the attention that got drawn to him. But he was a team player, and he had a winning attitude. And I think it took LeBron a while to learn that. He understands it now, but for a while, I don't think he did. It is a team sport. You know, no matter how talented or great one person is, it ultimately takes other people around him to make him a championship team. And LeBron had that this year with Anthony Davis, and Rajon Rondo and Dwight Howard. And a lot of other good players. They all did just enough outside of LeBron to, you know, lead him to a championship. And like I said, this was out of sympathy for Kobe Bryant. You know, every time the Lakers wore the Black Mamba jerseys in games, they felt obligated to have to win. And I think the only time they lost actually was in Game 5 of the NBA Finals. But other than that, they won almost every time they wore those jerseys in honor of Kobe. And I bet Kobe Bryant and his family, even though him and his wife Vanessa are gone, sadly, I bet in spirit, you know, they would have been happy to see the Lakers win for them. You know, they would be proud, I'm sure, the Bryant family. So I'm happy for the Lakers that they won, but ultimately, hopefully next year it'll be the Celtics' turn. Yeah, because the Heat didn't deserve to win this year. I'll tell you that. They made it as far as they could go, but I knew they were not going to win or beat the Lakers. The Lakers were ultimately the better team. Jimmy Butler thought he could do it all by himself. Uh-uh. It's a team effort. It's got to take everybody to contribute. So that's what I think. With that, we just have two sports left right now. Baseball and football, which we'll get to as the show goes along here. So, with that, we will take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk some football and some postseason baseball for you, and a little later on in the show, a couple of celebrity deaths this week, which I'm going to discuss. More sports and stuff after these messages.
Proud sponsor of Sports and Stuff, Harold's Ice Cream has over 400 original flavors to select from. Best of all, Harold's is kosher certified, no moo or artificial ingredients. Harold's also makes ice cream cakes with real cake centers, and they also ship their frozen treats to customers. Harold's Ice Cream makes treats like frozen yogurt, sherbet, brownies, cookies, pies, and cakes. Harold's does it all to satisfy that sweet, healthy treat craving. They cater events for 70 people or more, and they ship their kosher treats by mail. Call Harold's Ice Cream today at 413-586-9700 and visit harolds.com.
We're back. Sports and Stuff at your service. John Meisner here on EPRN, SoundCloud, and all of our other many media platforms. I want to thank our sponsors real quick. Harold's Ice Cream, Village Pizza, and Magic City Hi-Li, which we'll get to a little later on in the show. Proud sponsors of EPRN. Next thing we'll get into on the show this week is postseason baseball. The Tampa Bay Rays and the Houston Astros have moved on to the pennant series, the ALCS. So as far as the American League goes, the Tampa Bay Rays and the Yankees series was a pretty good one. Pretty good five-game series in the division series. Could have gone either way. It went back and forth. I'm just so glad Tampa knocked out the Yankees. I've never been a Yankees fan. I hate them. They're the one team I hate the most. So glad for Tampa. They have a great pitching staff and a lot of players that most people don't really know about. They're not exactly household names, but I'll name them for a few of them just because I know that team because they play in the Red Sox division. Tyler Glasnow, Blake Snell, Charlie Morton. They got a pretty good starting rotation there. They've got some guys that can hit. You know, Mike Zunino, Kevin Kiermaier's a good center fielder. They've got some guys that can hit, so they're a really good team. They got great pitching. They're built on their pitching to win them games. So I'm glad they knocked out the Yankees. Game 5 was a pretty good game. It was on the same night, I think, as one of the presidential debates, the vice presidential debate this past week. But it was a really great game. Gerrit Cole pitched his heart out. The Tampa Bay Rays used more of a pitching by committee. What I mean by that is some of the pitchers went like multiple innings, and they had an opener, and then relievers came in and pitched an inning or two. So it was kind of more of a group effort from Tampa, but still, the final score was 2-1. Only three solo home runs, one by Aaron Judge, two solos home runs by Tampa, and ultimately the game-winning home run in the eighth inning by Tampa. So that was. That was a great game, very well-pitched game on both ends, but I can't say the same thing about the Oakland and the Houston series. That was kind of a wild series. A lot of home runs hit, not the greatest pitching in the world, but a lot of slugging, a lot of big home runs hit, high-scoring games. It was a slugfest, but Houston ultimately prevailed in four games. And they're going to go on to the ALCS again for the... What is this, the fourth year in a row? Yeah, fourth year in a row the Astros are going to the ALCS. I found it was kind of funny this past week. I was watching bits and pieces of that Oakland-Houston series, And it was funny because it was on TBS, and Don Orsillo, who was the former Red Sox announcer for many, many years, he does national work for TBS for the playoffs. And it was funny because Nesson was rerunning old Red Sox games this past week from 2004. And those games were being reran at the same time that some of those games on TBS were running. So it's funny, I was going back and forth between that and the Oakland-Houston series. And on one channel, you hear Don Orsillo from 2004. And in another channel, you hear Orsillo the way he sounds now. it was kind of funny. It was just, you know, going back and forth. I mean, he doesn't sound too much different, but it's just funny how you hear him now and then you hear a game he probably forgot about from 2004 in the regular season. Or maybe he remembers it because it was a memorable year for the Red Sox, you know, ending that 86-year drought. But I just found it funny. It's like oh, Orsillo's all over cable now. You know, you work long enough, you're on multiple channels, you know. It's kind of funny, but no, Don Orsillo's just, he's awesome. He's a great announcer. So makes it so exciting. I mean, he makes those big calls, and you know, the Astros win this, you know, the Red Sox walk off with a win. I love his energy and his booming voice. It's just, you know, always makes it exciting and dramatic, you know. You know, one down in the fifth inning, you know, and he's got that really good voice. But yeah, no, he's great. I love listening to him and Jerry Remy for, you know, for about 15 years. You know, they did Red Sox games together. So that was kind of funny, a little coincidence there. But anyway, as far as the matchups go, it's Houston and Tampa Bay in the pennant series. This should be a good series. I think Tampa has slightly better pitching, but the Astros have the better offense. This could go either way. I think it's going to ultimately come down to timely hitting and timely pitching. I think it's going to go at least six games, maybe all seven. This is definitely a toss-up. Who wins it? Better pitching versus better hitting? Well, if you ask me, I think, you know, pitching wins championships. But the Astros do have more playoff experience in recent years than Tampa does. So, I think... I'm tempted to say the Astros will win, but if Tampa wins, I won't be surprised. Because they have a very good pitching staff, like I said. But the Astros, hey, let's not forget about their pitching. They still got Justin Verlander. They still got... who do they have on that? I haven't been following super closely. Obviously, Verlander. And is Verlander still pitching on that? Or did he get hurt? I forget. But yeah, I'm not a big Astros fan. But still, you know, they do have a they do have good pitching. I know. I mean, they wouldn't have gotten this far if they didn't have good pitching. So, so they're forced to be reckoned with. And in the National League, we got the Dodgers, and I think it's the Braves as well, if I'm not mistaken. I should have pulled it up on my phone earlier, so bear with me here. I believe it's Dodgers and Braves in the NLCS. Just give me one quick second here. You can get up and go to the bathroom if you'd like. The Dodgers have definitely moved on, and I think it's a... Yeah, it is the... Okay, yeah, I was right. It was Braves-Dodgers. Just had to double-check. So yes, it is Braves-Dodgers for the National League pennant. I definitely think the Dodgers will come out of the National League. It's their year. I think whoever comes out of the American League is going to have a very tough time going up against the Dodgers, who in all likelihood will win that series. They're just stacked. I mean, they are just loaded. I mean, Clayton Kershaw, Walker Buehler in their starting rotation, Mookie Betts and Cody Bellinger and Justin Turner. And God, I don't know how that team hasn't won a championship in recent years. Well, one year they lost to the Red Sox, and then another year they lost to, well, the Astros in a pretty good series in 2017 that could have went either way. But they're due this year. I think that it's the Dodgers' turn. I think they're going to win a World Series. They will get past Atlanta. I mean, Atlanta does have a good team. They're good enough to get to where they are, but I don't think they're going to beat the Dodgers. I say Dodgers win in, I'll say six. I think the Braves will make it competitive, but I think the Dodgers will prevail. I just want to see Clayton Kershaw pitch well in the playoffs. You know, he never pitches well in the postseason. He just, you know, this NLCS, and if they get to the World Series, is going to be very, very pivotal for him and his career because, you know, he always has a reputation of being amazing in the regular season, but he he craps out in the playoffs. So he's going to have to step up. I think all the attention, the spotlight's going to have to be on him. You know, he needs to prove he can win the big games because he hasn't done that yet. I think the Dodgers will win that series. I'm hoping Kershaw has a good series and will win him at least one game. But the Braves have a young team. They got some good players, you know. Freddie Freeman, Ronald Acuna Jr., Nick Markakis, I think, is on that team now. He was on the Orioles for a long time. So he's really good. So they got a good, young, exciting team. But the Dodgers are more experienced. I think the Dodgers will beat them. So I expect the Dodgers to win the NLCS. And ALCS, I'm kind of torn on the Astros and Rays. But I'm going to say the Astros, but it's not going to be easy for them to get past Tampa's pitching. But we'll see. You know, it could be an easily a rematch from 2017, you know, Astros and Dodgers. But I think most of the baseball world kind of probably wants the Dodgers to win. They're sick of the Astros by now. I mean, they made three ALCSs in a row, or four now with 2020. But considering all the controversy they had with the sign-stealing scandal, they're not exactly the most liked team. But neither is the Dodgers, because they're a big market, and people tend to get jealous of big market teams. I mean, I hope the Dodgers win this year, but still, I don't know, the big market teams always seem to get the most controversy. You notice that? It always seems to happen. Not so much the Dodgers, but you know, the Astros, and, you know, and the Red Sox and Yankees, you know, in recent years, so. You know, they call it East Coast bias, where I am in the East. I don't know what they call it in the West and the Central, just bias. Just big market bias, I guess you call it. But anyway, should be exciting. The ALCS and NLCS, they start this week. The ALCS, I believe, will be on TBS, and the NLCS will be on Fox. So it should be fun. Should be exciting. Four really good teams left. We'll see what happens. Love good pitching and good hitting this time of year. So should be interesting. You know, they've already played the division series in San Diego, and the National League series were in. Where was the National League? Or no, I'm sorry. Or was it? No, I take that back. Sorry. No, the American League series was in Los Angeles, and the National League series was in San Diego. That's what I meant to say for the division series. Yeah, that's right. Division series for the American League was at Dodger Stadium. So anyway, they're going to move that to another neutral location, and then I think by the time the World Series starts, I believe it's going to be in Texas, if I'm remembering that correctly. So they are playing it safe, baseball is. I'm glad they're following the protocol of the NBA and NHL for kind of a bubble, considering that the coronavirus is still going on. So they're doing the right thing. You know, they're being safe and using common sense, which is good. You know, safety first. So with that, we will take another break here on Sports and Stuff, and when we come back, we'll get you caught up on Week 5 in the NFL, some pretty big storylines I'm going to talk about, and we'll also get to our Magic City Highlight Recap of the Week. More Sports and Stuff continues after this.
You've got to plug into EPRN. We've got the conversation, we've got the sports team, and our music and entertainment team brings podcasting to extremely new heights.
Listen in to EPRN.us. Press the app button on the site and download the EPRN app now. You'll be listening to shows in no time. Take us on the go with you. Our app is accessible on all mobile devices and tablets, or you can just go to EPRN.us.
Your listening is worth your time.
Spend your time listening to an independently owned media network.
Tell a friend and listen in.
Exquisite Podcast Radio Network, EPRN.
This is John Meisner, and you are listening to Sports and Stuff on EPRN, SoundCloud, and all of our other many media platforms. So let's get you caught up on some football here, shall we? Week 5 in the NFL went down like this. Starting with the Thursday night game. It was between... Where is it here? Ah, there we go. Sorry, between the Chicago Bears and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Bears win by 1 point, 20-19. Tom Brady made a mental gap in that game. He forgot what down it was, and that cost the Buccaneers the game. Makes me kind of glad he didn't come back to the Patriots. personally, but the Bears won that one 20-19. The Texans finally get their first win of the season. Well, they had to fire Bill O'Brien for them to get that, but they got it. They beat the Jacksonville Jaguars 30-14. Like I said, Bill O'Brien was let go earlier this week, and you know, I'm not surprised. I mean, Bill O'Brien had some success with the Texans. He won them a few divisions, but ultimately, you know, there needed a change to be made. They got off to a bad start, 0-4. You know, usually the coach is the first one to go when the team gets off to a bad start because they need a change of culture. So it didn't surprise me they got rid of Bill O'Brien. And, you know, he's always kind of had a reputation, I hear, of like a tough, rough and, you know, gruff guy. And that obviously wasn't helping the Texans. So a change needed to be made. And I think Romeo Crennel's taken over in the interim, with both him and Bill O'Brien, former Patriots coaches as well. So that was the final on that one. Ravens beat the Cincinnati Bengals 27-3. Very easily win for the Ravens. The Carolina Panthers over the Atlanta Falcons 23-16. The Falcons are 0-5. Ugh. I feel so bad for that team because they're usually much better than that in past years, but not this year. Oakland beats the Kansas City Chiefs. Or excuse me, I'm getting so used to it's going to take time for me to get used to calling the Raiders the Las Vegas Raiders because they've always been the Oakland Raiders. I take that back. The Las Vegas Raiders beat the Kansas City Chiefs 40-24. I feel like every time I make a mistake, I should have to should get fined. But you know, I do have enough money saved to do that, but well, I'm not that rich. But anyway, Las Vegas beats Kansas City 40-24. First time the Chiefs actually lose a game by more than 7 points in the Patrick Mahomes era. That is astounding, you know, considering how dominant they've been the last 2 years. Mahomes has first time they lose by double digits with him as the quarterback. So, wow. Arizona Cardinals beat the Jets 30-10. Boy, the Jets, they stink. They're 0-5. I don't even know who their quarterback is. I mean, at least the Falcons, I could say it's Matt Ryan. I don't know who's running the show in New York and the New Jersey area. But the Jets are 0-5. Steelers, by the way, are 5-0. They beat the Eagles 38-29. Big Ben looks like Big Ben once again. Big day for him. Steelers are undefeated. The LA Rams beat the Washington football team 30-10. The Dolphins beat the San Francisco 49ers 43-17. 49ers are banged up. They've got some key injuries. Jimmy Garoppolo's hurt. Some of the key players are hurt. You know, so I think that's why the Dolphins were able to beat them so easily in that one. And this is pretty noteworthy. I got to get to this one. The Cowboys beat the Giants 37-34. I'll get back to that in just a minute after I get to these other games here. Cleveland Browns beat the Colts 32-23. Baker Mayfield had a good day. The Browns are now 4-1. They're off to a very good start this year, which is nice to see. And the Seahawks beat the Vikings on Sunday Night Football in a thriller, 27-26 in a one-point game that, well, I'll mention this first, then I'll get back to the Cowboys here, but in a was pretty questionable decision by the Vikings, up 5 points, fourth and inches deep in Seahawks territory. Their coach was faced with a tough decision: kick a field goal or go for it and get a first down and pretty much run out the clock. They decide to go for it, missed it. The Seahawks come down the field, and on a fourth goal with less than 20 seconds left, about 20 seconds, their last chance, the Seahawks get a touchdown and end up winning the game. They stay undefeated. The Seahawks are 5-0. That is amazing. In the final seconds, looked like when the Vikings had a chance to pretty much knock him out, or at least go up by 8 with a field goal, it backfires. The worst thing that could have happened was them not getting anything, and they got nothing on the fourth and inches. They didn't get the first down. And the Seahawks took full advantage of that. Boy, Russell Wilson is so clutch. It seems like every national game that's on NBC always comes down to the one-yard line with him, but he's something. You know, something about the number 12 in football usually makes you pretty good in the last 2 minutes. You know, whether you're Brady or Wilson, it's just something about that number. I don't know what it is. But anyway, Seahawks stay undefeated. They beat the Vikings in a very good game, very close game, very back and forth. But I want to get back to the Cowboys here for a second. Now, the reason that's such a noteworthy game isn't because, you know, big plays were made in that game. but because Dak Prescott suffered a very serious ankle injury. It seems unlikely his season will continue. He was taken to the hospital immediately after the injury had occurred. His season is most likely over. It's pretty much over. He knew it. I think the team knew it. But yet Andy Dalton steps in, and they rally behind Dalton and pull out a victory against the Giants, who the Giants really deserve to lose. They're not a good team. I mean, Daniel Jones isn't anything special, I think. He's got some potential, but he just fumbles the ball too much. He'll never be in the same category as, like, you know, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Ben Roethlisberger, Russell Wilson. He's not in that group. He's just not. he's okay, but he's not the best. So the Cowboys end up pulling that one out by 3 points. That's going to be interesting to see how well Andy Dalton does. You know, he was a backup coming into this year after spending 9 seasons with the Cincinnati Bengals. Can he lead the Cowboys to the playoffs? Possibly. You know, they don't play in the greatest division, so anything's possible. Yeah, the NFC East is like, I feel like every year, whoever wins that, with the exception of, you know, a couple years ago when the Eagles won the Super Bowl against the Patriots, seems like every year whoever wins that division just loses in the wild card game. I mean, that division's not meant to be a great division. I mean, you know, the Giants are bad. Cowboys are okay, but, you know, we'll see how well they do with Andy Dalton. You know, it's just, it's not a, I mean, nobody in that division really, you know, does it for me. I'm sorry. It's just a weak division. We'll see how well the Cowboys do with Dalton. I think it's going to be very interesting to see how they rally around. It's going to remind me a little bit of the Eagles from a couple years ago when Carson Wentz got hurt and Nick Foles came in late in the year and helped them win a Super Bowl. So that was pretty magical for the Eagles. We'll see if Dalton can do the same thing. You know, he didn't lead the Bengals to any playoff victories, but, I mean, Cincinnati hasn't won a playoff game in, what, since, like, 1990, I think? I think it's been, like, 30 years. You know, it's, yeah, Andy Dalton wasn't the biggest reason why they didn't win the playoffs. I think their coach had something to do with it, too. So, but anyway, I mean, that's in the past. Dalton's on a new team now. He was Dak Prescott's backup. So we'll see what he can do. You know, one win under his belt. So they're 2-3 right now. I think are the Cowboys. But a couple of important headlines I want to get to here. The Patriots have another player come down with COVID-19. Boy, it's just been crazy. It's not surprising, really, in the NFL that this has been happening, since they're, you know, playing out the season like they usually do. Or at least they're trying to. That game was originally supposed to be rescheduled to Monday. And it looks like it's going to be scheduled for next week. They will not play on Monday. I'm looking at my notes here. Looks like they were scheduled originally for 5 p.m. tomorrow. I do not believe that is going to happen. I'm just going to ignore that. That will be postponed to next week. So there will not be, I don't believe there will be any games on Monday for the Patriots. They were supposed to have a bye week, but that bye week is going to be replaced with the Patriots playing the Broncos at home at Gillette Stadium. And the Tennessee Titans, boy, you talk about COVID-19. They've had, last I saw, 22 players on that team. I'm not making this up. 22 players have come down with the virus. That's absurd. That's scary, is what it is. They've had to postpone that game to Tuesday night against the Buffalo Bills. Should be a good game too if they, you know, ever get to play it, because both teams are undefeated. That'll be a Tuesday night game. It'll be on CBS. So that'll be taking place then, and then we got the Monday night game, which is the regular scheduled game, Saints versus the Chargers. So we'll see Drew Brees against the Chargers. But getting back to the Patriots here, their last game they played on Monday night, last Monday, against Kansas City, that got rescheduled. That was a terrible game by Brian Hoyer. I'm sorry. Why did they start the game with him instead of Jarrett Stidham? I don't understand. I mean, there's a reason why Hoyer has bounced around a bunch of teams and has never really been a starting quarterback. I mean, he's mediocre. I'm sorry. He doesn't do it for me. I think Jarrett Stidham has a lot more potential and a lot more better opportunity to, you know, succeed as an NFL quarterback. I don't think Hoyer's got what it takes. He certainly didn't prove it against Kansas City. I give the Patriots credit for hanging in there as long as they did defensively. Their defense was very good for most of that game before the Chiefs kind of came away with it. But the biggest problem for Brian Hoyer, he just couldn't get enough touchdowns, and he turned the ball over too many times. That's why they ultimately didn't get to, you know, a lot of points and had to replace him with Jarrett Stidham. But by the time they did replace him with Stidham, it was too late. It's just too big of a deficit to overcome. Too many turnovers. Then a big mistake by Hoyer at the end of the first half. Getting sacked on a third down, and letting time run out. I don't know if they had any timeouts at that point. I don't think they did. But let the clock run out. He should have thrown the ball away or threw it incompletion or something. Just anything to stop the clock to set up a field goal, and that didn't happen. So big mental goof by Brian Hoyer at that point. Mental mistakes and too many turnovers hurt Brian Hoyer. I don't see him starting another game for a while, at least not until Cam Newton comes back anyway. But Jarrett Stidham will get the start for the Patriots next week against the Broncos in all likelihood. We'll see how he does. I like Stidham. I thought he was going to be the starter before they got Cam Newton, you know, in this past offseason. So he's got some hope. He's got some upside. Stidham does. He's very athletic. Throws the ball well. I think he might be their long-term quarterback if it's not Cam Newton after this season. So we'll see how well Stidham does in the meantime. But still, you know, as good as the Patriots' defense was against the Chiefs, for the most part, again, too many turnovers. You can't turn over the football. What was it, like 4 or 5 times? Kind of no wonder they lost that game. You know, if Newton started that game, we might have had a chance to win if he was healthy but didn't have COVID. But we'll never know. We'll never know. And some questionable decisions made in that game by the Patriots. And questionable calls by the referees, too. I think one of them was I forget what it was exactly. This was like more than a week ago now. But it was hold on. I'm trying to remember what it was. It's been a week. I've been so busy. But It was a punt. It was a third down. It was Chiefs had the ball, I think, Mahomes, and it looked like the Patriots had strip sacked him, but they called it an incompletion, which it was not an incompletion. The ball was not coming forward out of Mahomes' hands. I'm sorry. That was a very poorly made call by the refs. It should have been I think it was a strip sack fumble that the Patriots came away with that they blew the whistle on very quickly because they called it an incompletion. It was not an incompletion. It was a fumble. Ugh. Just to piss me off. It pissed Bill Belichick off, too. He has every reason to be unhappy about it. Was not a forward pass. His ball was not coming forward. So that ticked me off a little. But ultimately, you know, like I said, too many turnovers, and Brian Hoyer just not very good. Not going to cut it. So hopefully Stidham does a better job in the meantime before, you know, Newton comes back. So there you have it. That week kind of in a nutshell for the NFL. Yeah, it's just COVID-19 rearing its ugly head. It's, you know, it's going to be interesting how the NFL handles this, you know, in the weeks ahead. You know, they're trying everything they can to make sure the season is, you know, going along as it should, and that they're, you know, they've had to reschedule games, but, you know, they're trying to make it end in, you know, in 17 weeks. There is talk they could add an 18th week if a lot of games keep getting rescheduled. They haven't had to do that yet, but they may be facing the inevitable. You know, they may have to do that. But I give them credit where credit is due. I heard since they're having to move the Patriots-Broncos game to next Sunday, or this, you know, upcoming Sunday, the 18th, 8 games had to be rescheduled, you know, because of it. You know, the Broncos had to move their game they had against another team to another date, and that team had to move their game against whoever. So like a chain reaction. It affected like 8 games for next week. So yeah, one change affects a lot of people, clearly. Yeah, but that Titans-Bills game should be good, though, you know, if it gets played. I mean, I think it will, but you know, hopefully on Tuesday night. That's the plan, anyway. But they've been rescheduling so many games, it's almost getting to the point where there'll be, like, football every day. You know, there's a Monday game, a Tuesday game, a Wednesday game, a Thursday night football. You know, it's crazy. It's almost turning into Happy Days. The Sunday, Monday, Happy Days, Tuesday, Monday. That's what it made me think of, the Happy Days theme song a little bit. But still, no, it's... I mean, I give the NFL credit. You know, they're trying to do what they can. Hopefully they don't have to add another week, because I don't think they want to. But you know, the fans might like it, but I don't think the... Well, it's hard for the fans and players to keep up with all this change. So, hopefully they get it under control. So, with that, we will take another break here on Sports and Stuff, and when we come back, we'll get you our Magic City Highlight Recap of the Week. And also, we'll talk a little later on about a couple celebrities that passed away very tragically this week. More Sports and Stuff after these messages. Hi, I'm John Meisner, host of Sports and Stuff on Exquisite Podcast Radio Network. Tune into Sports and Stuff weekly on EPRN. On the weekends, relax and catch a matinee highlight match on Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, or Sundays at noon. Highlight is entertaining, fast-paced, and has a deep cultural heritage that we're proud to bring to Exquisite Podcast Radio Network. Magic City Highlight, only on EPRN. We are back here on Sports and Stuff, and as I'm getting back into place here, my cat has just distracted me, so I'll have to try the best I can to not focus on that. You little pest, stay out of here. John Meisner here on Sports and Stuff. Yeah, my biggest fan is my cat, of all people. It seems like he always knows when I'm recording. But anyway, as we get back into this, the show here, thanks for bearing with me. time to talk some Magic City Highlight. That's what we'll do. We'll get to our Magic City Highlight recap of the week right now. So here it is. Our highlight package of the week, sponsored by Magic City Highlight. Here it is.
The main rule of Highlight is simple. Players must catch and return the ball in one fluid motion. Sounds easy enough, right? So how do you win? You can win a matchup simply if your opponent overserves, underserves, or serves the ball out of bounds. On the flip side, your opponent wins the matchup if the serve is so good that you fail to catch and return the ball to the front wall. If your opponent fails to catch the ball before it bounces twice on the ground, or if your opponent's cesta makes contact with the ball but doesn't catch it, then, in both of those cases, you win the matchup. You can also win a matchup if the ball bounces around in your opponent's cesta during an attempted catch. This is called juggling, and it's illegal in Highlight. Another way to win a matchup is if your opponent throws the ball and it lands out of bounds on its return from the wall. The overall game strategy for a Highlight player is to make it difficult for an opponent to reach the ball in time or to execute a rebuttal play. Spectacular 9 singles games are played with 8 players. Each player wears a different color jersey numbered 1 through 8 on the front. These numbers are traditionally referred to as post numbers. Post numbers are used to signify the order in which the athletes will play in a game. These numbers are also used for betting purposes. Don't be confused by the numbers on the back of our jerseys, those are just for fun. Each game begins when the player in the post 1 red jersey serves to the player in the post 2 blue jersey. The served ball must land between the 4 and 7 lines marked on the court's side wall. If the ball lands between those lines, the serve is good and play continues until one of those two players wins that matchup. The player who loses the matchup exits the court and waits for his next turn at the end of the rotation. It's important to note that every game has 2 rounds. The first 7 matchups in a game make up round 1. Each matchup in round 1 is worth 1 point. Round 2 refers to all matchups that take place after the 7th and final matchup of round 1. The number of matchups in round 2 varies from game to game. And in round 2, each matchup is worth 2 points. The first player to earn 9 points wins the game.
Remind me of Hustle City, man. Everybody got more than one gig. I send the ice cream, ready to send the CDs. One stop, boy, $20.
I have a security company, a beauty salon.
I've been doing music for a very long time.
When I was done being an NFL player, I was able to become a police officer, an actor too as well, and model.
I'm not your neighborhood Uber driver. I do luxury.
And then I have another job.
I play highline.
We in the house.
We were looking to transition from dog racing to High Life. I went to the university. I said, listen, I have this crazy idea. Do you think we could send something out to all the ex-athletes for the last 20 years and say, we're looking to hire and train High Life players?
When I first got the email, I thought it was pranking me.
I was like, what?
I need some clarity on this.
I went on YouTube and I Googled High Life.
I was like, ja-la-la.
JLA.
They paying us, man, and we can win big money.
So I'm like, okay, let me see what this is all about.
That's what you gotta do. Get some money.
The players taking the court are all athletes you may recognize.
Baseball, football, track and field.
If it's no contact in this sport, you're gonna be a piece of cake.
Whoa.
God. I came to watch you land.
We knew going in, they're not gonna be great the first day.
If you're gonna come into this sport, you gotta be dedicated.
Really like the Jamaicans with the
bobsled team. It's a lot of crime rate around here. That's why I always keep the Uzi with me.
Having the work, play Division I sport, and then I had a child on the way, so I dropped out.
First time getting arrested was possession with intent to sell.
The crack era was tough. Sports in general was a way out of our environment.
It's really game time now, man.
Blood, sweat, and tears.
We got the streets on fire.
This is gonna be the first time that my kids will be able to sit in the audience and root for their father.
Born and raised in Miami.
Who wants it more?
This is a sacrifice I think is gonna pay off in the end.
This is a dream for me.
I gotta win.
Can't get drama better than this.
I like became the new hustle.
Let's get ready to play.
And that was our Magic City Highlight recap of the week, only heard on EPRN. So hope you enjoyed that. So next thing I wanted to get to here is in the world of entertainment, a couple celebrities left us very sadly this week. The first of which is Eddie Van Halen, a legendary rock guitarist, huge 80s star. Had some big hits like Jump, which is probably one of his more famous ones, on the electronic keyboard and the guitar and all that. Some people consider him a rock god, and I don't disagree with that. He definitely was a rock legend. You know, he wasn't exactly one of my favorite musicians, but I have a lot of respect for him. You know, he definitely was very popular. And married to actress Valerie Bertinelli from One Day at a Time from the 70s and 80s. So very sad. He left us too soon. You know, he died at 65 years old. Eddie Van Halen did. And his music will live on forever, of course. You know. But that was unfortunate that he died. And another person that left us that, you know, I don't think a lot of our listeners, or some of you may be aware of him, some of you may not. This is kind of more of my niche, but legendary game show host Tom Kennedy left us this past week. He was 93 years old, and believe me when I say this, Tom Kennedy was one of the best, if not possibly the close to, he's in the conversation of being one of the greatest game show hosts of all time. Just a wonderful host, very talented broadcaster. Did a number of shows especially in the 60s and 70s, especially in the 1970s. You know, he did so many hit shows. He did Name That Tune, Split Second. What did he do? It's more like, what didn't he do? I mean, just a number of shows. In the 60s, he did You Don't Say. In the 50s, he did Dr. IQ. Then he did Body Language, and then he did, it's kind of a silly name for a show, it was called Phew. Like when you're out of breath, you say Phew. So that's actually the name of one of his shows. It's kind of a silly name, but he did that. He did, so many shows, a lot of pilots too. Password Plus, he came in for Alan Ludden after he got sick late in the run. But just a wonderful host, just a great broadcaster, had a great voice and good energy. So smooth, and just, man, he made it look so easy. Had an outstanding career. One of the greatest game shows of all time. You know, him and Bill Cullen, I think, are the two hosts that come to mind that when you think of them, if you've heard of them and are game show fans like me, they were always so versatile. They could host any show that producers wanted them to. They could host anything. They weren't one-dimensional, like Bob Barker would be, was always associated with The Price is Right. They weren't like that. They could host a fast-paced show. They could host a slower game. They could host a quiz show. They could host a fun audience participation game. I think, actually, now that I think of it, Tom Kennedy also did The Price is Right for a year in the 80s. They had a nighttime show on in syndication that he did a good job with. Although he has said he was a little hard on himself for The Price is Right. He didn't think he did a good job. I thought he did a very good job, personally, you know, considering that, you know, Bob Barker had, you know, was very synonymous with that show. You know, he actually came in and actually did a very admirable job, you know, having to come in and memorize all those pricing games. I mean, they didn't have as many back then in the 80s as they do now, but, you know, he did it very, very well, and, you know, did it his own way, too. He didn't try to be like Bob Barker. Did it his own way and did a nice job. But you know, like I said, him and Bill Cullen, if you're old enough to remember Bill Cullen, they were the best because they could do any kind of show. They had class. They had, you know, they were well liked. You know, Tom Kennedy always, you know, had that great voice, that deep bass, you know, kind of baritone voice, and you know, took his job very seriously, but was easy to like, you know, and just was good at handling any show, any situation that came his way. You know, was good at dealing with celebrities on some of the shows he did, and they would get out of hand a little bit. So he was great. He was, you know, just loved by everybody in the game show community. Not a single bad thing to say about him. It's just too bad I never got to meet him. But he was 93 years old. But not a lot of people know this, but Tom Kennedy was actually not his real name. His real name was Jim Nars. His brother's name was Jack Nars, another game show host that was very successful. He changed his name to Tom Kennedy, I think, to avoid the confusion, I think, with his brother. But yeah, his brother was also a host and did some shows as well, Jack Nars. So yeah, they were just very talented, had wonderful voices, and it's too bad we don't really have a lot of broadcasters like that on TV anymore. The only ones that are left really are Pat Sajak and Alex Trebek. You know, and I guess Meredith Vieira, if you count her on 25 words or less. Chris Harrison, you know, Ryan Seacrest. They're really the only broadcasters left. Nowadays they go with, you know, actors and comedians that some do better than others, but I mean, I'm not a fan of them in general, and I'm especially not exactly a fan of the way those shows are presented or produced these days. I think they're over-watered and over-edited. There's not a lot of spontaneity. Some of the contestants are a little fake. They might be a little over-coached, perhaps. They're not exactly the most authentic people to root for. They tend to be like, look like they just came out of like a Hollywood makeover session or something. They have like makeup on. The women look all super pretty. I mean they're nice to look at, don't get me wrong, but that's, I mean, they look like they had like some work done. it's ridiculous. But thankfully that didn't exist, you know, for a long time, and unfortunately it does now anyway. But still, back to Tom Kennedy. You know, he hosted everything at such a high level. You know, you could tell he knew what he was doing. He knew the ins and outs of every show he did. He was prepared for any situation. He always made sure he understood all the rules and nuances of every game he did. He was just so great at his craft. And It's a shame he passed away. He lived a great life and had a great career. So, you know, you can't complain about it. He was 93 years old, lived a good long life. And he will be missed by, you know, many that were fans of his, you know, growing up. And the same with Eddie Van Halen, too. You know, Eddie Van Halen was certainly a rock legend, that's for sure. You know, his music will always live on. And, those things happened this week, I have to say. Unfortunately, you know, a couple losses, but you know what? I mean, it's not like I could say anything bad about either of those gentlemen. You know, they definitely contributed to music and television and radio. Both kind of contributed in radio in different ways. You know, Van Halen with his music on pop radio, and Tom Kennedy, of course, got his start in radio before he went to television. And boy, did he thrive when he got to television, when he made the transition. He was very successful. Very, very successful. You know, actually, now that I think of it, there were a couple funny bloopers with Tom Kennedy. One of them was on, you have to see them in order to understand them, but one of them was on Password Plus. And I remember the word was French that came up. And was it French or was it France? I can't remember which. Well, it was one of the two, but I think it was French. And then Dick Martin gave the clue France. Or was it France and he said French? One of those. I forget which one. But he gave a form of the word. It was an illegal clue. And Tom Kennedy just completely lost his composure. He couldn't recover because Dick Martin kept making jokes about it. And he kept trying to start the segment over again. And he couldn't because he kept laughing. It was one of the rare times he lost his composure, but it was funny to see him do it there on Password Plus. And then another show he did for 1 year was called, It's Your Bet. It was just another show he did. And it had him and I think Burt, was it Burt Reynolds? I'm trying to remember. Yeah, it was Burt Reynolds. And, you know, and Tom Kennedy made a joke about him being of Indian reservation for his heritage. And Burt Reynolds looked like he wanted to rip his head off. He started to run after him. he chased him across the set. And then the producer comes out and says, "No, Tom, we're not really trying to hurt you. We were putting you on. Just can you start over again?" And then he's like, "Hold on, I got to go change pants first because I peed my pants." He got so nervous he wet his pants. That's why he said he had to change his pants. Oh man, because he got so scared of Burt Reynolds. I mean, how could you not be scared of him? He's a big guy, so. That was kind of funny. You know, if you've ever seen that as a blooper, it's kind of funny. But anyway, Tom Kennedy is a little squeamish, I guess. He got a little scared at that point, But still, no, but nothing to take anything away from him. He wasn't even really known for being a funny guy, just known for being a very gifted broadcaster and did great in TV and radio. So he will be missed, and Eddie Van Halen, of course, his rock music will live on forever. So may they both rest in peace. God bless them and their families. That's going to do it for this week here on Sports and Stuff. We thank you very much for listening. For everybody involved with this one, I am John Meisner, signing off of Sports and Stuff. You've been listening to the show on EPRN, SoundCloud, and all of our other many media platforms. This week's episode of Sports and Stuff is brought to you by Magic City Highlight. I almost forgot the name of it there. Magic City Highlight, Harold's Ice Cream, and Village Pizza, along with our many other wonderful sponsors. And we hope to have you back here again next week for another interesting episode of Sports and Stuff. Next week on the show, we'll talk more about the ALCS, the NLCS, and we'll track the COVID situation with football. It's going to be interesting to see how many more games they reschedule or cancel or whatever they decide to do. So we'll keep our eyes and ears out for you. Have a great week, everybody. Stay safe out there and enjoy the fall season, too. It's beautiful this time of year. Looking at all the fall foliage. Stay safe, everyone. God bless you. Have a good week. See you next time on Sports and Stuff. So long.